Good evening. James McCanny here with My Science Hour, June 11, 2020. A lot of topics to cover tonight. And the first topic is race. The traditional, the long-standing method of insurrecting a country is to use race, to create, to draw out the race card, to create race division in a country, to put two groups of people in against each other. And that is what is happening right now. It's playing out. It's the hand is being played like a poker hand at Las Vegas. So you can see this, and there are people behind it have full knowledge and intention to divide the United States with race, when really the whole race issue was becoming, it was pretty much gone away. I mean, there's always incidents, and one can always draw the race card and individual incidents. But the derision of this, the movement of this to divide the country, where, you know, I know a lot of people, and I work with people in a lot of countries, and the world is a big arena. And I don't see race as an issue. If you get down into local areas and certain situations, certainly you're always going to find it. But it was getting much better. That's what I'm going to tell you. And so the use of race right now is a tool to divide the United States. And of course, the news media is all in on this because they want the destruction of the United States as we know it. And this comes from the CIA, which is not a U.S. agency, never has been. People say, well, it has a budget from the United States federal government. Well, you know, that's a token because their real budget comes from drug and human trafficking sales. That's where the CIA gets their money to buy Google, YouTube, and all of these other Wikipedia, and have just massive presence. They own CNN. They own the mainstream media. They own over 1,000 high-tech companies through their drug laundering company, InQtel. Yeah, this is all planned, and it's part of the ongoing, you know, the Mueller investigation was CIA incited, the Ukraine deal, and then, I mean, just everything. The guy that started the Ukraine thing was a CIA agent, and they never released who he was. So just in short, the latest race deal is another rabbit out of the hat to guide the United States. That's what it is. And so see it for what it is. Okay, I'm not going to talk about political issues. I'm going to talk about science issues tonight. And this is very interesting because recently, as you know, I came out with my latest book, which normally I would not have done. The reason I did this was because of timing of my book, Planet X Update 2020, The Real History of Planet X. The reason I released this, and it's available on my webpage, just $9.95, or you get it free if you purchase more than $150 worth of whatever on my webpage. So you get it free. And a lot of people, I'm getting comments back. This is a very timely book, and it's rather a short book, but then it comes with a series of lectures also. These topics are very complicated and do not lend themselves well to the written word. And so, therefore, it's a combination. And also to facilitate getting it out, some people have asked, is there a phone number you can call to get the book? No. It's an ebook. It's ordered online. You need to be online to read it, etc. So at any rate, but in that book, I discuss the workings of the CIA, and they've been behind the whole Planet X thing from its very inception, all of the tremendous amount of misinformation. And so the May 27th release date is very important because it is literally the 30-year anniversary to the day when Robert Harrington of the Naval Observatory discovered what literally is Planet X. It was under a NASA contract, and a NASA contract, literally the name was Search for Planet X, and he confirmed this. Harrington confirmed it. He found it. He found the orbit, etc. And so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but all I can tell you is the people that are reading this are and giving me comments, very, very good comments on this. And so I encourage everybody to go get a copy of this, only available on my webpage. This is not available on Amazon or Scamazon, whatever you want to call it. So, but a very, very important book. But also it ties into what's going on today in the bigger picture in the United States. The CIA is behind the Mueller report, as I said, and the Ukraine deal, and back to the assassination of JFK. They are not an organization that has anything to do with the United States. They are the police force of the World Bank. That's what they are. That's what they do, the chaos they create. And make no mistake about it, the chaos that was created in the Planet X era was chaos. It was to throw everything in the kitchen sink, and there's still some stragglers out there that are still trying to pound this Planet X is going to come any day, baloney. And they're still trying to pound this message. So they're hangovers from this old CIA day, but that's gone. The CIA has moved on. They've got bigger fish to fry these days. And the entire concept of Planet X has gone by the wayside. So that's, again, this book is hopefully the last book that has to be written on this topic to bury all of the disinformation and that is out there, that has come and gone. And just you have to ask yourself, how could these people who are nobodies, first of all, even get to the point to publish a book, because they're just complete morons, and it takes actually brains to do something like publish a book and then carry it through, etc., and market it. This is all help with CIA money. And all of their books had the same exact cover, same material on the cover, same pages. It was printed at the same printing house. And all of these various independent researchers, yeah, sure, you betcha. Okay, so anyway, a lot of topics to cover tonight. This is something I'm predicting, and I hope I predict it, and if they're planning this, they actually decide not to do it because I'm making a prediction. That is that... Now, if you look at everything that's happened, the Mueller report, as soon as that was done, there was Ukraine. As soon as that was done, there was the coronavirus. As soon as that was done, there's the Black Lives Matter, this Floyd guy allegedly being killed in Minneapolis. And, when that runs its course, what's next? And, of course, all of this is to disrupt the primaries that are going on right now, the election, the 2020 election. And it's chaos. Remember, there was a show when I was younger. This is maybe many of you are old enough to remember this. It was called Get Smart. And there was a character. It was a comedy show. There was a character. The main character was Maxwell Smart. And he was kind of like one of these guys. He was always goofing up, but he would always goof up in the right direction. So it was a comedy. But the counteragency that they were always fighting was named chaos. And that is a very good term for what's going on now. It's just chaos. Create as much chaos, and then you can point, oh, well, President Trump didn't do this, or this politician did this. And it's a way to divide and just throw as much chaos into the mix as possible. Very divisive. And then let all of this milieu proceed. Just chaos. And so that's a technique. That's a way of destroying a country, to get everybody fighting amongst themselves, family members, groups, organization, churches. If anybody says anything, oh, you're a racist. In fact, they just changed the definition of racist in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and they did something you never ever do in a definition. In the new definition, they used the term that they're trying to define three times. You don't use a term like if I'm going to define the term, any term. I'm not going to give an example. Any term. You don't use the word that you're trying to define in the definition. But they did. Just it shows how ridiculous and uneducated the public is today. There used to be a time when things like this were taught in school, little things like in a definition, you don't use the same term that you're trying to define in the definition. The new definition of racism has the term racism in it three times. Well, that's not a definition. How do you know what? I mean, it's just, it's lunacy. It's lunacy. And anyway, it's just a sign of the times. Destroy anything of the past and put in something new. But anyway, here is what I want to say about NASA. In this milieu, in this ongoing, as soon as the George Floyd thing drops off the edge of the earth newswise, as soon as the public loses interest, as soon as all of the rioting, etc., ends, there's going to be another major bombshell story, because that's where the mainstream media gets its listenership. Everybody turns on the news to see what's going on, so their ratings stay up if there's chaos, and they have chaos to report. So one of these, and this has been in the wings for a long time, is a false flag CME or coronal mass ejection flare that would take down the grid system. And I'm expecting this sometime around late October. That's my prediction. So there's going to be a whole series of crazy events that befall us. They're already planned. They've been planned for years. The think tanks that work for the CIA think of these things, and then how to roll out the news media, because the news media don't know what to report. They just read the news as they're told, as it's given to them. They're news readers. And it's funny to see the talking heads. You can see these collages of news reporters all saying the same word. Like I saw one where all of the news media in one day, the mainstream news media, they were saying, it's a damning report. And they all would say it, stressing the word damning. And they showed all the people starting from the Morning Joe show all the way through the entire day, probably 25 people saying the same thing, the same words. This was a damning report. All using the same terminology. This is all programmed news. It's blanket coverage. So anyway, all of these things are planned in advance, is my point. And so the NASA CME scare is one of the things, one of the rabbits they have in the hat to pull out and say, whammo, here's the next one, boys and girls. And so I'm predicting that I would be surprised to see it sooner, because the ultimate thing that they want to do is disrupt the 2020 presidential election, because that's when the majority of like local offices, state offices, senatorial, congressional, et cetera, offices, mayoral, governor, gubernatorial races all occur. The majority occur on that particular date. They cycle, and on that November, whatever it is, date, first Tuesday in November, whatever date, that is the election, the disruption would come right before that. And this would be a major disruption, something that would take the United States in its entirety to its knees. So there was no communication. There was no ability for you to talk to, you know, anybody that wasn't maybe shouting across the lot to your neighbor. What would that be? It would be a blackout of the electrical grid system. And how would that happen? Well, how would it happen at exactly the right time? Well, NASA has all of this canned, I guarantee you. so that all of their satellites report a big solar coronal mass ejection. And they say, oh, within minutes, this coronal mass ejection will reach Earth. And then just like a Harrington event, and then you'll see all of this pre-planned news coverage with NASA experts and other experts supposedly coming on the news media and saying, oh, there was a coronal mass ejection, the electric grid is going down, and then wham, it goes down. The whole country shuts down. And it goes through the election cycle. And then all of a sudden it comes out the other end, and look at the Democrats won the Congress and the House of Representatives and the presidency and all these local offices. This is what I predict is going to happen, and NASA will be a key part of this because they're liars, they're cheaters, they're owned by the CIA, they're run and operated by the CIA, which is this part and parcel of this whole process of ongoing chaos. NASA, that's I'm making this prediction. So let's see what's today. Today is the 11th of June. And that would be in, let's see, June, so July, August, September, October. It would be 4 months and about a couple weeks from now. So 4 months and a couple weeks from now, I predict that NASA is going to pull off a false flag CME. How much plainer can I say it? Okay, on to the next subject. And by the way, this is very interesting. When I wrote my book, Planet X Update 2020, I included in there, because right now astronomers are finally waking up, which is amazing, to the fact that Elon Musk is sending thousands of satellites into low Earth orbit, and eventually they're supposed to go up to about a 340-mile orbit, which is not that high, but it makes them a little less visible, but still naked eye visible. And the complaint is that they reflect sunlight up there and cause streaks across the sky. And if you're an astronomer, you're trying to look at something, your telescope, the last thing it wants is errant light coming into that telescope. Because you have this thing wide open, you're looking at a very dark sky, and all of a sudden this big bright thing comes across. It ruins your imaging. It sends all this light into something that's looking at something that's extremely dark. Or if you're doing, say, infrared astronomy or whatever. And so, obviously, astronomers take a hind seat to this new technology of putting thousands of satellites. And Elon Musk, and with his, it's called Starlink system, for 5G and blanketing the entire globe with 5G. I mean, whoever allowed this to happen is what a bunch of complete idiots, with one of the most damaging microwave technologies in all of history. They're putting it up there, thousands, tens of thousands of these satellites, and they're just the first company. There are going to be more companies doing the same kind of hideous type of development with satellites. Pretty soon there's going to be tens of thousands. But the astronomers are complaining because they reflect sunlight. But the problem, the second problem is these satellites all have a blinking light on them. They have a strobe light, and they can blink. You don't have to have sunlight for these things to turn on and off. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would this be okay? Why would you allow somebody, you know, put your satellites up there, okay, they reflect sunlight, that's one thing, you can mitigate that. Why didn't they do that? But why do they have a strobe light on them that can blink on and off? And the answer is they want to block the sky from you seeing it. Now, why would they want to do that? Because they in the whole realm of Planet X type of things, they don't want amateur astronomers seeing the sky. And at some point, they could simply turn these things on. There would be no night sky visibility. In fact, there would be no daytime visibility because all you could see up there is these blinking lights, like strobe lights, like they use, you know, like at a big rock concert type of strobe lights, literally. And so why would they do this unless the purpose was to set up a global network of satellites that could block the public from seeing the sky? Now, why would they do that? because maybe they have information that someday a Planet X type of object is going to come into the solar system. And I've said this all along, that, and I talk about this in the book, that they have discovered hundreds and hundreds of planets, some of them Jupiter-sized, some bigger. And the word is that there are more big planets out there than there are in our solar system. So I want to preface this next statement by saying that I do not have any information that there might be some kind of Planet X object that would affect Earth. Now, literally, there are hundreds of Planet X objects out there that NASA has discovered. They're not telling us, they don't tell us what the orbits are, which they know. They obviously know this. There's all of this data they have been collecting for a long, long time. And I guarantee you, that NASA and its CIA controllers will not tell you if there is something coming. But this whole issue of putting lights on satellites that surround the world that can blink on and blink and ruin your vision of the night sky is bizarre. I mean, it's like these satellites don't need this. It's not part of their function. So why would you put tens of thousands of satellites up that literally are like a matrix around Earth with blinking strobe lights that would blind anybody from seeing the night sky unless you wanted literally that the public would no longer see the night sky? And then why would astronomers allow this and not go bananas? And why would they go along with it? And why would they even negotiate with something like this? Say, no, you can't do this. You cannot put all this stuff up in the sky. But it's not happening, and the companies that are doing this just have free rein to do it. But you got to understand, too, that these companies and Musk, when he, let me just go back in history a little bit. When Musk was having trouble early in his days of SpaceX, he was trying to get contracts to launch for NASA and launch for military and things like that. And he was not getting the contracts. So he went to court and he sued the government. He says, hey, look, I got this equipment and all of the contracts were going to Boeing and, you know, the good old boy network. And Elon Musk is the new kid on the block. And so he wanted a cut of the business and they weren't giving it to him. The good old boy network in the Pentagon, et cetera, the revolving door with all of the standard aerospace companies, they didn't like the competition. So anyway, Elon Musk goes to court, and all of a sudden, he settles. He settles out of court, and that day, he gets a $1 billion investment from Google and Fidelity, both CIA-operated agencies. And so, isn't that special? And so then, everything was copacetic. So you see how it works. And so now Musk is in with that group. So him launching these satellites, you have to know that there's backdoor deals going on here. And what would the CIA love more than anything if there's something impending is the technology to blanket the public from seeing the sky. And of course, you, the public, you don't have the ability to go out and see the night sky. But then again, the public is getting closer to having access to outer space. When Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic started getting close to taking people into outer space, doggone it, they had a little accident. They had a pilot die. They said, oh, geez, we just can't do this. We got to have the FAA come in here and put a lot more restrictions on this. We just can't have these people going up into outer space and getting hurt. Well, the FAA and the government don't care about surfboarders going out and riding on a stupid piece of board on a 30-foot wave and clunking their head on the board as it comes flying out. They don't care about those people. So why do they care so much about the health of people going into outer space? Well, that's because they don't want anybody going into outer space. And so anyway, Branson is coming up here on launches where the first people will be going into outer space here shortly. And so anyway, this will be interesting to sit back when the armchair observer, so to speak, and watch what's going on. Because they don't want you in outer space. And that's the entire point of NASA, is to have these long-term, decades-long programs in employing thousands of engineers and it costing billions of dollars. And the whole point is that to make it look like it costs all this money and takes all this time and all this engineering and all this expertise, and that you can't go into space. And Bert Rutan proved that you can with very minimal resources, winning the original Ansari X Prize to go into outer space with the funding from Richard Branson. So this whole thing will be interesting to see it play out. And also there's now a law that amateur rocketers cannot go above, I think it's 100,000-foot ceiling. Well, what's the problem? There's no airplanes up there. There's no military craft up there that we know about. And what's the chance that some guy out in the middle of the desert shooting off a rocket would hit some kind of military? Or certainly there's up 100,000 feet. There's nothing up there. What are you worried about? You know, they have all these rules, you know, that the public has to work within. And the people go, well, you know, the rocket people can certainly build rockets now that will actually go into orbit. What's the problem? You know, what is the problem here? That, you know, what's the 100,000-foot ceiling limit all about? They always have to put a rule on something, a rule. Like your parsimonious third grade teacher that, you know, made rules out of nowhere, and all these kids running around have to obey all these rules. Anyway, this is crazy. Just another note here. This is an article that appeared in space.com. It says, to go to Mars, listen to this, to go to Mars, we're going to have to change the DNA of people. Now, where have you heard this before? All of a sudden, creeping in all over the place is this idea that we have to change our DNA. Like, what does going to Mars have to do with changing your DNA? Well, that's pretty stupid. It doesn't make any sense at all. It should have nothing to do with it. You want to go to Mars? Go to Mars. Why would you have to change your DNA? But see, this is creeping in, and this is all of these controlled news sources. This same message that there's a bunch of Dr. Strangelove, Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, and the whole laundry list of psychopaths running the international, medical community, whatever you want to call it, bunch of psychopaths that think that they should be changing your DNA. And that's, by the way, what the vaccination is all about for the COVID-19. Was there were elements in there that would change your DNA. In other words, modify your babies. That's what it's about. Because if they change your DNA in you, you would just carry that till you die. So obviously they're trying to modify the human race. So there's some psycho scientist somewhere in a laboratory that is thinking and doing experimentation on changing the DNA that will affect offspring. So anyway, just a note, you have to read everything today with a discerning eye. Here's something that was very interesting. There was a guy circulating this on the internet. He was out in the evening with his camera, and he took a picture. There was a rainbow that appeared. Well, we've all seen rainbows, beautiful colors, and turned out it was a double rainbow. But it was a red, it was a pure red rainbow, and that is because the sun was setting behind him. And the only colors, you know, when the sun goes down, it gets orange, and then as it gets farther down, it gets red. That's because the refraction of the light through our atmosphere only gives you that part of the spectrum. It's like a prism. The atmosphere is acting like a prism, dividing the light up, and the last light that you see before the sun goes down is red. And then, of course, you see what is called the green flash, which is I'm not going to talk about now, but that's another phenomenon. But just before the sun goes down, it's red. It first turns kind of yellowish, then to orange, then to red. So anyway, the rainbow that this guy was seeing on the other side of him from the sun was pure red. So it was a very interesting picture. So just making a comment, and that's kind of the fun things that just average citizens do and then share that on the internet. And by the way, the ancients did not have rainbows. If you go back, remember the story of Noah, the great flood. And there was an atmospheric change then, and I'm not sure I've talked about this in my work, and I'm not trying to define exactly what it is, what change it was, but the before the Noah's flood, there weren't any rainbows, so they were surprised. And the word was that after the flood, God put the rainbow in the sky to tell them that the rains had ended, because you typically see the rainbow after it rains, and that's because it's really fine mist in the sky, and it's not 100% accurate, because sometimes you can see a rainbow before it rains. If the mist is coming in from the east and the sun is going down behind you in the west, then you could see a rainbow before it rains. But that was the story, that God put the rainbow in the sky to tell man that the rains had stopped, and that they stopped, okay, the end of the rain for that, and so the rains would come more frequently. But before the time of Noah, they had never seen a rainbow before. So that means the atmospheric conditions were such that there were no rainbows. Well, what was that? What exactly was that? And I'm just going to leave it at that. Like I say, I talk about that in some other places, but just an interesting piece of history there. I got an email from a listener, and I mentioned on last week's show, and by the way, there was a technical difficulty. If you were trying to listen from WWCR last week, there was a technical difficulty, and they ended up replaying my show from the previous week. But there is a show for last week, actually 1 hour show, and then which was re-aired, you know, what, 7 times it re-airs through the weekend on other stations, other channels, et cetera, other venues, satellites in the Mideast, et cetera. But so if you tried to listen on WWCR last week on my show, what was June 4th, there is an archive, so go to my webpage and listen to the archive. But on that one, I describe how one of the things that I did would have warranted a Nobel Prize, and that was the prediction of X-rays and comets, because it was a major discovery when it was discovered, and I had predicted it in my original papers. In fact, I said that is the defining element of the plasma discharge comet model, my comet model, and my model of the solar system, that would differentiate between dirty snowball comets and my model, because you would never ever imagine in a million years that a comet made out of ice should have X-rays, especially far out to the sunward side. And then I recounted a story how I had spoken with the leader of the ISEE-3 satellite team at Goddard. They were at both Goddard and Los Alamos, and that they should leave the X-ray detectors on, and that a visit to Comet Giacobini-Zinner in 1986 would have discovered X-rays and comets at my promotion that they leave the X-ray detector on, but it wasn't. They turned the X-ray detectors off at the behest of NASA, because NASA said, turn that off. You don't need X-ray detectors. This is an ice ball. Well, I would have predicted and had the experimental verification in 1986, a full 10 years before it was discovered by accident by the clowns at Goddard. And I say clowns, I'll name them off, Michael Muma, Kerry Liss. They are clowns. They're morons. They're idiots. And they're bad scientists. They're thieves. And taking information and absconding with it for their own glory. Michael Muma, Kerry Liss. There they are. The clowns of science of Goddard. stealing information and hiding it so that they get the glory for the discovery of X-rays and comets. Yep, and Michael Mumma, by the way, had a whole series of things he stole from me, not the least of which the oceans on Mars. I had a whole entire web page dedicated, still there, you can go see it, dedicated to the oceans on Mars and where they were, and I show the map and everything. Michael Mumma steals this off of my webpage and then publishes it under his own name and then says, oh, but this was billions of years ago. Yeah, so that's Michael Mumma, a real jerk, a thief and a bad scientist. But anyway, the story is that I would have, that would the what I did was Nobel Prize winning theoretical work, and then being subsequently discovered experimentally, that is what Nobel Prizes are all about. And so I talked about that in last week's show. Go listen to that as I talk about that. I also discuss that in the new book, because this all happened at the time Hale-Bopp was coming through the solar system. And it turns out that Comet Hale-Bopp was the second comet to be studied in with the ROSAT satellite for X-rays. And so anyway, I talk about that in the new book also. But just a little aside note there. Something's going on recently. It's called noctilucent lighting and noctilucent clouds. So what's happening is these are electrical in nature. So the clouds are lighting up like a light bulb, just like comets do because of the electrical currents, and they are visible to the naked eye. So there's coming out on the internet now, you can see these, and these typically happen around this time of year. In fact, I think the story I told you about the guy with the rainbow, red rainbow pictures, was out trying to take pictures of noctilucent clouds. And so just another perfect example of the electrical nature of our atmosphere, which is electrified because of the electrical discharges of Earth, just like comets. Our Earth is discharging the solar capacitor, and this affects our weather systems. And so noctilucent clouds is this very specific phenomenon, and I'm not going to talk at all about the actual mechanism tonight. I got a lot more topics I want to cover. Here's in my notes, I want to cover this because I think it's important, that you saw all the looting, and the looting in downtown areas, especially Manhattan, New York City, a lot of the big cities. And in these downtown areas is where the high-end stores are. These are corporate stores, typically. And it's not like you or I could go down and rent space in one of these areas. And so these are the stores that got looted. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, did they give permission to George Soros and the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter people to trash their stores? Because they were looking down the barrel of very bad retail sales from now until who knows when. Because nobody's got any money. The coronavirus thing killed the economy, you know, 40% unemployment, whatever it is. Worst recession in the history of the United States after the most booming economy that the world has ever known. You know, make no mistake, this was done on purpose to destroy the United States. But these store owners, these corporate store owners, would have had an incentive. And whenever you see incentive, money incentive, then just follow the money. It's pretty clear. But anyway, the issue was that they were looking at a forecast of horrific bad sales coming up in the future. So what if somebody looted their stores, and then they could go to the government and say, doggone, we had to close our store, we had to lay off our employees, and please give us a couple $1 billion. And that's what's going on. Watch those people, all of the CEOs of those corporations that own those businesses that are in downtown Manhattan and down New York City and across the country, that where all these places were looted, they're the same corporations. And they're going to be going to the government saying, doggone, look at this, you got to give us some money. And okay, on to the next topic. And this is something that I didn't quite know about. And it's very important information on something that's been happening recently. Now, you've probably seen the President Trump out in public with a Bible. And he holds this Bible up, and there's a real story behind it. And I didn't know what this was. And of course, you're certainly not going to hear about this on the evening news. And so the mainstream media makes it sound like this guy is grandstanding with a Bible, just holding up some Bible, and also implying that this is somehow racist and dealing with white supremacy, that the Bible is related. Oh, my goodness. And you'll listen to this. The way this is twisted is just getting bizarre. But there is a real story behind this particular Bible. It's not just any Bible. And so I listened to what might be the short version of this. But anyway, Donald J. Trump, the president, 45th president of the United States, sitting in the Oval Office today, is the fourth son of a woman named Mary Ann. And Mary Ann immigrated to the United States from Scotland. But anyway, and she met a man in the United States and got married. And so there's the various members of the family, et cetera. And so she brought with her this Bible. And she was from the Hebrides, which is a series of islands off of the coast of Scotland. Very hardy people, Scots, and of course, somehow, in a sense, related to my ancestors who were actually Norwegian. And so let me explain this history a little bit. A lot of the people that were from the islands and the north and west coast of Ireland and Scotland, etc., were basically Norwegians. They were the Vikings that came down in around the 800s, and they settled there as they expanded out. They also got all the way over to the New World, to Nova Scotia, etc., and there's some indications that they, in that time frame, they even got down and mixed with the Mayas of Mexico. There's that character Shakmul, which they talk about. You can see him; he's the central figure in the temple to Venus in Chichen Itza. The central character there is a tall Norwegian-looking guy with moccasins and a kind of a bowl-like type of hat on. Shakmul is the name they give him, which is a French name, which is somebody just grabbed out of the air and gave this name. But this guy is nothing like the Mayas. He's a Norwegian, a tall Norwegian character, as a highly ranked person or highly touted person in the Mayan culture. So anyway, but getting back to Scotland, Ireland. So my ancestors came from, were Vikings. They were fishermen, potato farmers, and then my ancestors migrated to the United States during the potato famine and then ended up settling in Minnesota as farmers in western Minnesota, and the rest is history. So, but anyway, Donald Trump's mother, Mary Ann, was from the Hebrides, and once again, you see these are Vikings. And there's an effort on right now to destroy the Viking ancestry and the offspring of the Vikings. These are the white people. These were the industrious people that built the United States, a lot of them. And, of course, Europeans, northern Europeans, were the industrious ones. They're the ones that built the shipping industry. Of course, all the big shipping was always built in Ireland. The Titanic and its sister ship were built in Ireland, in the shipyards, by Irish. So at any rate, this history goes back a long ways. But anyway, back to Mary Ann is Donald Trump's mother. Donald Trump was the fourth son or fourth child in the children of Mary Ann. And this Bible had a very important origin. It was the Bible that was used in a church that Marianne attended as a little girl. And I don't understand exactly everything that happened, but apparently, from what I understood, there was a lightning bolt that hit that church. And it, the whole thing was destroyed, and the only thing left after this church is, this is my understanding, and I might have it incorrect here, but the only thing really left after that debacle was this Bible, which Marianne carried with her, and she was so impressed with her fourth child, Donald J. Trump, that she gave him this Bible. So anyway, this Bible is not just some Bible he's holding up. This is a Bible which represents the people who fought for freedom in Scotland against, basically at the time, the New World Order. The New World Order of England, which was part of the Rothschild banking community, was trying to take over Scotland and the people of Scotland, the independent people. And there's a lot of stories about this. Of course, the Braveheart story and everything else. Robert Bruce and going back. So there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of deep-seated ancient history against Donald Trump. And so when he holds up the Bible, there's a symbolism here, and I want you to understand what that is. And it goes a lot deeper than what I know or what I can express on this show. But I want you to understand that there's a tremendous amount of hate, and it's a political hate. It's the kind of hatred that's very different from any hatred. It's a form of racism against white people. And white is a color. When you talk about people of color, white is a color too. And there's racism against white, and there's an effort out right now to destroy the white people, you know, who have created basically the most advanced societies and industries, et cetera, that the world has ever seen. So you can talk about all of that you want, but there's an effort on right now to destroy Christianity, to destroy God, to bring in atheism, to bring in atheist science. Evolution is atheist science. The Big Bang is atheist science. It's put there to replace creator, a divine entity, and something that an entity that throughout the ages, the people who identified with the earth, the Native Americans, the all kinds of other indigenous people, identified with the creator and understood that they were given a gift. They were given a gift. It's planet Earth. And that you had to be good stewards of the earth. You had to use, of course, when the Indians killed an animal to eat, they would apologize to it and say, "I'm sorry, but this is, you know, this is part of our existence here." But good stewards of the earth, they only took what was necessary. They didn't take more. They didn't build up huge reserves. They only took what was necessary at the time. And, of course, we've gotten way away from these basic concepts of the earth and good stewardship of the earth. And one thing I try and do in my work is be honest, number one, and number two is be a good steward of the earth. And so my wing generator is a product that will solve the world energy problem. I'm working very hard at that, getting it out into the public eye. The grow towers are something essential for our well-being, the ability to grow with very little water, 95% less water than any other type of farming, and then high concentration of organic, non-GMO plants right there that you can clip daily. You can pick the tomatoes daily or the cucumbers, and it's fresh, it's right there. You know that it's not sprayed with anything because you don't have to spray it. It's a very clean environment. Those are my water filter products, water from the air products. All of these, I'm trying to be a good steward of planet Earth and put that in front of you so you can be a good steward of planet Earth. But anyway, I thought that was very telling, and I did not understand this. So when the news media criticizes Trump for holding up a Bible, the last thing they want you to know about is the real story of that Bible and the history where it goes back to the independence of the Scottish people from the reign of the English, which is run by the Queen, which is a member of the Rothschild family. So anyway, very, very important here. Throughout history, mankind is always besieged by psychopaths, psychopaths who work their way up into power, and these people come out of various different pasts, and we're dealing with that today. We have psychopaths, we have fascism, we have people who claim they're not fascists, but who are people who are putting a lot of money into destroying the economy because they gain power over it. Psychopaths. People who are nuts and will lie, put on a suit and lie, etc. So anyway, but the question is, what do you do? What do you do in this time of relatively high levels of insanity and chaos going on? And here's what I've told people. You have to sit down with the people in your immediate circle, your family or your group, your local group, if you're in a club or a church, etc. And you have to sit down and say, look, where are we going? I just had a request this past week from a church group who want to buy the grow towers, and they want to grow their own food. So this was a group that got together, and they pooled their money, because the more that you buy, the cheaper they are. If you buy 12 of them, a kit of 12, it's about almost 70% the price. And so it makes sense to buy in, you know, not just one, but a number of them together, but some people only need one. But the point is that people are getting together today and making decisions and directing their lives, and that is how you define the new normal. I talked to somebody that I talked to frequently this last week, and they said, why not ask people to define what the new normal should be? And that's very important. So what's the new normal for me may be different than the new normal for you. I've often said that when the coronavirus thing started and then the riots and all of this stuff, my life personally did not change a lot. I don't go to downtown Manhattan and buy jewelry. I don't buy extra stuff. I don't have a lot of things. I don't have lots and lots of clothes. You know, I have some good clothes so that I look respectable if I go to a meeting or something important. I can dress up and look as good as any millionaire walking in there, but I don't have closets full of these kind of clothes. And I'm just as comfortable wearing shorts and sandals and a T-shirt as nice clothes. And so what you have to do is find your new normal and understand, you know, what is necessary for your family, for the people around you. And of course, the basics are energy, water, clean water, good food, and a nice environment where you can live and prosper, education, communication. All of these things are very important. And so, do you have to have all the kids having a cell phone and sitting there constantly looking at YouTube videos, which are polluting their mind? Hopefully this coronavirus thing where everybody had to stay at home, it did have some positive effects. And one is that the family had to be together, that the family had to sit down and maybe talk for the first time, because otherwise you're in the middle of school, kids are going off to school, they're running around, they're in school activities, and all this is good, but they basically take over your life. You don't have a life. I've often said this, that I saw a guy one time, and he was just distraught. His son was very successful, a very good athlete, and this guy was a very successful doctor. He had two sons, and they were one of them was graduating from high school, and I had talked to this guy frequently, you know, and he said, you know, my son is going away to college now, and he said, you know, for the last 15 years, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it's over. He's graduating there. He's moving away to another state. And, you know, then I saw him one time later, and he said, yeah, the son was having a baby. And he said, I don't see him anymore. And then he said, you know, I never saw them much when they were growing up. And it's like this flash in the pan happened, and your kids are gone. That's what public education does, or that's what, you know, education in general does. It takes over your life. You don't have a life, and you lose control of the very important thing that is your family. So sit down, and now people are beset with another issue. How do you educate your kids? Because the schools are all closed. I don't think they're coming back. And if they come back, it's not a place you'd want to send your kids. So you have to sit down and define your new normal. I would get a piece of paper because then you're writing things down. And 6 months later, when other people diverge from the pattern, from the plan, you'd say, here, look at this is what we agreed on. This is what we're going to do. And one thing, too, is this is very common in the Chinese and Japanese and those cultures, is you don't bring shame back on the family. You don't have the right to go out and do something stupid and then bring that problem back into the family. In fact, if that happens, if somebody comes back with a problem, they go, you're out the door, buddy. You are no longer part of this family, because you don't do that. You respect your elders. You act normally. And that's why, by the way, the Orientals in the United States, the Japanese, Chinese, etc., have the lowest crime rate of anybody. They have by far the lowest crime rate in those countries. They have the lowest murder rates, etc., because they have respect for the family. That's part of their culture. And I think the United States culture has been lost to video games that are explosions. And imagine all these Antifa people spent their lifetime growing up playing video games where people are blowing up and killing people 50 times in a minute. There's people being killed. This is what do you expect them to do? Anyway, you have to define your new normal. So very important. In these days where there's so much corruption in science, in politics, in just news media, in every place you see, you have to define your new normal and stick your head up above the clouds and decide where you want to go. So anyway, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. I will be personally concentrating on my wing generator and all of the technologies that I have available on the grow towers, the water filters. And so go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. You are my only support. I don't have commercials or sponsors, etc. So the only support I have is when you buy something from my webpage. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.